know, I guess the action before us then is, you're entertaining a motion that we set a public hearing. It's the first thing we have to do. Public hearing to hear any potential opposition or comments by property owners in that area. And a date that we have here in our memo for consideration is March 20th, 1996. Magical date.
No, it isn't, but it's 30 days down the line, which is kind of normal time.
Okay. Give people time to digest the notice and learn something about it. March 20th. It'll be our second meeting in March. Okay, so Chair will entertain a motion then that we set a public hearing for March 20th to consider the reimbursement agreement. Well, if you're opposition or pros, pros or cons.
Can I make a motion that we send out the notifications and set a public hearing for March 20th?
Okay. Motion by Director Fairbanks and a second by Director Blair. Do you need anything more than just a verbal vote? All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. March 20th will be the public hearing for that. Mr. Pruitt, I invite you to come and get all your supporters behind you. And we'll see you on that night. Thank you for your time. Okay, item number six is this is a district investment policy related to some new Senate bill requirements. It's kind of an outgrowth of the Orange County deal. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President. The state legislature has adopted a couple new bills, primarily, I think, in reaction to the Orange County situation, and their Senate Bill 866 and 564, which require local governments to adopt a formal investment policy procedure of investing their funds. I've attached a newsletter from the Special Districts Association newsletter for information purposes, and then received another document from a legal firm outlining the procedures and what the bills, the two Senate bills are resolved on. Staff has put together an investment policy, and I'll let legal counsel review those items with the Honorable Board.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Jones hit it right on the head when this is a legislative response to the adventures of Orange County in the investment world a few years back. Basically, the purpose of this policy is to keep the board appraised of and the public of the types of investments the governmental agencies are making, and to allow the board to give staff directions. There's also, legislation also places limits on what types of investments you can make investments on. And if you'd note that, that's basically covered on page 3, paragraph 6B, which is the prohibited investments. And quite frankly, I'm not in have any particular knowledge of these investment strategies, but you're prohibited from investing in inverse floaters, range notes, or interest-only strips, which I don't have any idea, that are derived from a pool of mortgages, and you're prohibited from any security that could result in a zero interest accrual held to maturity. And, of course, there's a conflict statement down here. You're precluded from investing in banks or other institutions where one of our board members or the finance officer is serves on some board or in some fiduciary capacity. That the legislation itself is very broad-reaching in the types of investments you can make to the exclusion of these prohibited investments. However, the district itself in its enabling statutes has certain restrictions that are even more restrictive than the ones that are in Senate Bill 866. So if you take a look on page 3, The proposed investment policy, you will see the permitted investments. Basically, the county pooled funds, the local agency investment fund, or the LAIF, and then there's federally insured banks and savings and loan associations. And then we put a caveat in there in case that the board did want to go out to different types of institutions that the board, by resolution, at some future date, could designate other investments that would be acceptable. I can tell the board right now, as far as I know, most of the district's money is in the LAIF.
Right. The others in FDIC.
Right. Other than that, the purpose of the investment policy is that is stated in the code, and that is safety, liquidity, and yield. And the strategy that this investment policy invokes is that strategy in that order. The first primary concern of the strategy is safety.
Right.
The second strategy is liquidity. And then if the safety and liquidity are met, then the last goal to be sought was the yield. In other words, we're not out here looking for the most speculative investments, but the ones that are the safest and most liquid.
What is the yield currently?
It's 5 point something, 5.6 point something.
And does it fluctuate with the market and prime money and so on?
The LAIF is what's called a pooled fund.
Uh-huh.
It's the state pooled fund. In other words, it's the management is by the state itself. And
yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I didn't know the yield on it.
Yeah. So they have a variety of investments that they are involved in.
Okay.
And we have a quarterly reporting requirement, so every quarter the board and the public will get an update on the district's investments, where it's invested. And then there'll be a yearly recap of the district's investment and a recommendation by the staff to either renew the current district investment policy or to amend it.
Quarterly reports that Lisa generates would suffice in regard to what we have to provide to the auditor.
The specific standards are in the policy itself. I just note that allowed by the statute, it's most likely that our quarterly reports would fall under Category 7C, which is a limited quarterly report, which basically states that the district has placed all of its investments in a local agency investment fund, the LAIF, created by California Government Code Section 16429.1, or in a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, insured accounts in a bank and savings and loan association or a county investment pool, then we just have to submit to the board and to the public the latest receipts, because all those types of accounts all take into those three primary objectives: safety, liquidity, and yield, in that descending order.
I just wanted to point out on the draft that I have, the line that's the very last line on page 4 is repeated at the top of page 5.
Thank you.
And I guess this is just a suggestion. On the very last sentence on page 5, it says the special reporting policy does not leave. It goes on. It says prepare an annual investment statement in accordance with 7B. Change that from statement to report or policy report.
Okay.
So it matches the language on page 4.
We don't currently have any money in county pool funds.
Just with the taxes that are collected until they are distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd appoint the general manager, as outlined here, is going to be the finance officer.
Correct.
Okay. I take it you agree with the recommendations from this Barkowitz, Chronic, and Shanahan, the memo that was in here?
Correct.
It's obvious that we pretty much, we've got everything covered in our agreement that's outlined by that firm.
That's correct. And the statute and the neighboring legislation. The one thing that the Steve Chronic's memo doesn't address, of course, is particular districts or other limitations on particular local agencies, like this district has built-in limitations in our enabling statutes and where we can hold our money.
Okay. Any questions by the board members? Any questions or comments from the audience on this?
I have a question. I have a comment. Okay. I think that if we're going to do this and do this yearly, I don't think we should extend the permitted investment. I think we should remove the funding pool funds from 2, 3, and 4 permitted investment.
What? Okay, where are you at, Katie?
I'm on page 3, item 6, investments authority.
Permitted investments?
This particular policy is designated in our general manager as our finance officer, which he is anyway, but we are officially making him that. But also, then it says permitted investments. I'm just saying because we do not have investments in county pool funds, I don't think we should. I think we should leave that as number 4. Such other financial institutions or securities that may be bid designated by the board, which leaves it open.
We could do that. Generally, although the history lately has been that the LAIF has been performing at about a half a point, a three quarters of a point better than county pooled funds, mm-hmm. and that's the reason why you see most agencies investing in the LAIF. That could change. The county, you know, and that's really what it is. It's where districts put their money or what portion of it is a reaction to what the projected interest is. This does not mandate an investment in a county pooled fund. It just says that's an authorized investment. However, we could eliminate it. It's not.
If you're in a county pool fund to draw those monies out, you need to.
There's a new restriction on withdrawing.
So you just can't pull them out by yourself. You have to have approval from the county pool.
That might be more reason to check it out
let's
right now.
Let's stay with Leah.
We'll bring it back with a choice there on that one. Then we'll bring it back for board policy for enacting.
You're going to bring it back up what, Tim?
Well, we're going to incorporate, of course, the comments
right.
that we're receiving right now.
Right.
And when we bring it back, we'll give the board an option when they take official action on the policy to either keep the county pool funds or to eliminate
it. Well,
number 4 would still, currently number 4 would still make it an option to go with
That's
the county
correct.
Pool funds.
That's correct. We just bring it back to the board for official
right.
action.
Yeah, as long as the language in 4 and by financial institutions or securities, that includes accounting.
Sure does
it.
Sure does.
All right. Any other comments? Okay, item number 6 will be brought back to the next meeting with those comments. And if you read it more thoroughly later and have other comments, call in and talk to the staff. Okay, item number 7 is regarding safety meeting minutes. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the pool insurance that we have through the Special District Association of Risk Management, we get additional discounts on holding quarterly safety minutes that are adopted by the board and gone in the file. This is just a procedure matter where the district has held a safety meeting this last quarter. The minutes are presented to the board for approval, and they'll go in the minutes, and then we'll notify our insurance carrier, in which we get a slight discount on our premium.
Slight. hasn't gone down.
1%.
Yeah. Any other questions from the board? The minutes are pretty simple. Watch the videos and it's like occupational hazards and things. That's good.
If you want a motion to accept.
Sure, I'll entertain a motion then that we accept the minutes as presented for submittal of the insurance company.
I move we accept the minutes as stated in February 7th.
Okay, and the meeting took place January 31st.
Correct.
Okay, thanks. Okay, do I have a second?
A second.
Might want to take public comment before the board.
Okay. Yes, public comment, please. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Excuse me?
So you get 1%.
Oh, this is a. Now we're on another issue. I'm going to come back to public comments in general at the end of the meeting.
This is
comments on this item regarding a safety meeting.
We acquire insurance from the Special District Association pool. And they charge us a premium. And they say, well, if you hold a safety meeting every quarter, they'll reduce their premium by 1%.
Of course, but should it be competitive? I mean, go for the one insurance company, maybe get a better deal from another company.
We do. We every so often we go out for requests for proposals on insurance.
In fact, every 3 years we do that.
So that we do get those.
That's how we got to who we're at right now. We've only been with them for a year or so. Before that, we had the Pollard and Picasso was funding.
Right. And that's why we hold a safety meeting, because it reduces our premium.
Okay. Any other comments on the safety meeting again? Okay. I have a motion by Director Mendoza and a second by Director Simon to accept the minutes. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Item number 8 is a financial report. We've got some warrants presented before us on a single sheet. Was there anything you needed to make comment to, Mr. Jones?
I don't have anything, Mr. President. Most of the guaranteed or associate fees are associated with design of the wastewater treatment facility.
Changes regarding state water alignment?
That's in there also.
Any questions about board members? Comments?
What's planning and associates?
We bought a number of meters to replace the meters out at Black Lake. We had about 75 of them that were reading gallons, not cubic feet, so we have maintained uniformity. And also the old meters on the bottom are starting to corrode out, so we're in the replacement program.
About the carry
out. That's a progress payment. He's doing the rate study for the district. We have a draft on that. While we're on that, hopefully he'll have a final draft put together by the end of the month. And then he would like maybe a morning study session with the whole board to review his proposal some Saturday morning, probably sometime in March.
Chips
inside,
no.
Right here.
Doug, are those faulty service lines everything off? Is that what?
The faulty service lines?
Yeah. New pipe?
Oh, no.
Sound going?
Yeah. Basically, my manager report. The TLC is he's finished up Fairview track.
Yeah.
Our Compton Otis State. That's been complete. He's moving over to Pocono. In that additional money for paid for paving and some of the old patches we had, he went back in there and repatched our patches. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of places where he ran into problems where he came straight out from the service, dug a hole down, wasn't there. So he had to start chasing it down the street and found out the corn lot, instead of coming straight off, went around the corner and tied in. And there are some real ghost stories out there. He dug up one and what was pouring that the satellite was on, the satellite was cracked, and when he moved the dirt away, it blew off, and it was swamped out there for a while.
Find any bodies? That's good. Any other comments or questions on the warrants?
Yeah,
What's Baker, our Baker Incorporated, what do you get?
He's doing the overpass, the pipeline across the overpass.
How about Santa Maria Tire?
We replaced tires on the backhoe, which were some ridiculous price.
Wow. Yeah, and they're the only ones that carry that stuff, too. And did we get bids on that, or did we just...
We went out and requested...
Yeah, those are, that kind of stuff, they're kind of...
And they replaced four tires on one of these.
Okay, the murmuring has stopped, so I guess that's all the questions now. So I have a motion to approve the warrants.
I so move.
Okay, motion by Director Conley, do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a second by...
I'll right there.
Second by Streetwide Lawyer. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Item number 9 is the manager's report. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, Director Blair and myself attended the Intergovernmental Relationship Development at the Fringe workshop last Saturday. Numerous agencies were there, all the cities, special districts, and the county. And there's an article on your table that explains kind of what went on. Hopefully there were some positive aspects of it. Some of the people I talked to kind of indicate that the county didn't get the message, but some others say that they probably did, and hopefully we come up with some proposal. It was just an interesting observation I went to, and they had numerous tables out there, and had different agencies at each table. You know, city, county, special district, etc. And I noticed the table that Director Blair and myself were sitting at, we were the only representatives from special district. Other tables had at least two representatives from each district. So we were outnumbered, but we held our own.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll create a dialogue with respect to the tax change that the county has basically on our annexations, which we are aware of, say we have zero tax exchange from now on since we're an enterprise. And I think the legal counsel brought a good point. If you frame the argument within that parameters, it's very difficult to argue. But the whole argument should not be framed in that parameter, since we're more of a community, not just to be a specialized district. They indicated that 35% of their revenue was taken from the state. We were hit about 40%. It was brought up in the meeting that Bob Redmond mentioned that two-thirds of that revenue came back from the state to the counties. And as you can read in the paper, I made a statement, if we have to tighten our belt, why doesn't the county tighten their belt? And I don't know if it fell on receptive ears or not. And then in the afternoon, they just had kind of a roundtable discussion on issues. Maybe John would like to make some comments on the meetings.
Or not. No, I attended along with Director Blair and Doug. The roundtable meetings in the afternoon were just that. They set out, they had two basic topics, LAFCO issues, and the other topic was the property tax exchange. And if you may, just to give you a picture what LAFCO does, and the board probably understands this, but around each district or each town or each city, there's what's called a sphere of influence. And it's usually it's a line drawn around the town that's wider or out further than the town's actual boundaries, and that's a planning area. And the idea of having that sphere of influence is it gives clear direction to that governmental agency that is located, so to speak, in the center of it, its clear planning objectives into the future. Although it's still in the what typically you call the unincorporated territory of the county, it's still supposed to be a planning mechanism. And what you end up having, though, is cities and special districts who are ultimately charged with servicing that area if they are annexed in, having conflicts with the county because the county still maintains the planning rights to that property. So you get a conflict of current planning obligations or rights that the county has in the future planning rights or obligations that are suggested by that property being with this in the sphere of influence. And so there was quite a dialogue, as you can imagine, from the special districts, the cities, and the counties about how you go about and you plan for these areas. The speaker, Mr. Brakeman, who you see his picture right here, is a clear proponent for the fact that the county should succeed its planning authority to the governmental agency who, so to speak, owns the sphere of influence or operates in the sphere of influence. The county, on the other hand, has a little contrary view. It's not, I would want to say, though, it'd be inappropriate or I think incorrect to think that they're just at odds with each other. I mean, the differences are of course, significant, but they're not, every little item isn't contested. I mean, there's a lot of agreement.
You could tell that by the picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is Lee up here, Lee Williams. Yeah. The other picture is, of course, Bob Brakeman, who is a LAFCO expert. The second issue has to do with when you have annexations, you have two other financial issues that are involved, and that is the property taxes. Usually when you annex into a city or an agency, it changes the land use, usually increases it, because if you get water, you can get sewer, and then you can go to a higher density than what the land may be in the county plan. And so there's always going to be an increase in property taxes, and there's a significant debate going on right now as to how that new increase should be split between the governmental agency and the county. The other one is the sales tax, because typically you might have some commercial that will go in there, and who should get the sales tax. This is all driven by the state's policies, because the state has been, as this district and everybody else is aware, has been shifting property taxes away from special districts and counties, and the counties are feeling the pinch, and their philosophy right now is more or less what you might call a pass-through philosophy, where they pass it down to the other governmental agencies. Competing with this, though, and then I'll get off this high horse, is everybody has to kind of remember that the county provides services that cities and special districts don't. All the social services, I would say all of them, 80% of the social services are county-funded. And, of course, the district attorney's office, the court system, and all that is funded by the county. So it would be, you just really can't say it's because you're a city. Cities are also the heaviest users of the county's social service programs. So there is a nexus between urban population and county services. And with that, but that's where the conflict is, and that the idea of these meetings is to get the policymakers together, which is our board members and city council members and board supervisors, so that instead of having their staffs meet and carry the debate, that it's time to get to debate at more of a policy level. And I think I'd be interested in Bob's observations, because I didn't get a chance to get to that.
Is anything clearly resolved there?
Well, I think what was resolved there was a fact that everybody now understands the issues, and I think the Board of Supervisors understands how city councilmen and special district directors see issues, and I think it's reversed. I think city council members and special districts at least see how the county views the issues. So I think it was productive in that way.
I think, too, there's a shift starting to change, too. Before, it was just the five supervisors. Now there's different people getting on these different boards. The special districts got into LAFCO. I went to the SOCOG meeting this morning because I was up in San Luis and I had some time to kill before another meeting, so I went to that. And those people aren't going along with the county either. I mean, that everybody has needs, and they're trying to redistribute the funds to take care of everybody's needs rather than a few special interests that have been trying to funnel all one direction. They had Templeton and myself there, and they seemed to ask Templeton and myself whether we wanted to become cities or not. They wanted to know whether Napoleon wanted to incorporate and whether Templeton wanted to incorporate. And I really didn't want to put us on the spot because, like Al said, don't answer for us without the board. But I gave them the impression that, and Templeton told them the same thing before I did, that mainly the reason people incorporate is to get out from underneath the thumb of the county. If the county was more willing to work with the local areas, they might not be so ready to incorporate. And Templeton seemed to feel that way. They're afraid that they're going to get overshadowed by Paso Robles and followed up by Paso Robles, and their sleepy little town is going to be gone. Costco or something like that.
You know, the county, to me, doesn't seem to want to share any of that money. As an example, they're supposed to give something for what they get. And you can take Willow Road as an example. Do you know that there are areas on Willow Road where grass is growing? This, honest to Christ, you could take a lawn, pardon my French, you could take a lawnmower out there and do better than what they're doing in the darn road. It's really pathetic. And you talk to the people in the county, and this guy will push you over to Jack, and Jack pushes you over to Sam. Sam pushes you over to Bill. And then Bill pushes you to some lady who hasn't been there for 3 weeks and isn't planning to come back.
Do you have any last names on those guys?
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
I got a question. You go to the other side of the freeway, you got some beautiful homes over there, but the roads are such crummy, as they're like Mr. Simon just said. I think you're back in Kentucky sometimes. Dumb paved dirt, potholes, every time it rains, you barely can get through them up there.
One thing would happen.
I can't answer that.
Lack of funds? No, correct that.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
Well, part of it, but like where I live, I subdivided and I built the road. I built the road to county specs. I donated the road to the county, and when I donated to the county, I assumed that the county was going to take it over and maintain it. In fact, the county. I even went further than what the county wanted because the road went past my house, and I wanted to make sure that there was enough room so my kids didn't get run off the road. So I built the road wider than what it was supposed to be and really put in a pretty first-rate road. They've never accepted it. I've wound up maintaining the road, and in the meantime, a very large capital improvement is going to deteriorate because they won't do it. And they do this in a lot of areas. They make the developer put in all these improvements, then the county won't come back and pick up and improve the improvement after it's in, and the improvement deteriorates. And then they come by and form assessment districts and rip it all out again. And that's kind of stupid, too.
I mean, some of these roads are Thomas guide, and you look at this here, they look beautiful on the Thomas guide, and there's nothing but a bunch of potholes, you know. And like you said, there's a lot of construction going on. Why don't these guys make a beautiful profit putting up these houses? They should be paying in order, you know, to put up the approval for building. There should be some kind of stipulation in there that they will pave the road a couple of blocks down the road, and you know, to make it to have a start in that.
There are some road fees assessed in areas where the county recognizes an improvement is needed.
That's the only way they should get a building permit, in my opinion.
One of the problems is political. There are certain road funds that come down from the state, and when the previous county engineers were there, they were focused on using those funds for road improvements. But when times got hard and everything else, the Board of Supervisors pulled those monies away from the county engineering department and put it into other uses. And therefore, the road started going down. And the retired county engineer stated, I said, just give it 5 years and see all the potholes in this county start appearing.
And to the poppers.
And the day at LAFCO, two of our more prominent supervisors were trying to raise the gas tax. They felt that the only way to cure this was to raise the gas tax. They want a bigger percentage of the license fees, they want to put on more environmental fees, and they were trying to, there's a bill to change. We just got a ruling from the state Supreme Court that says they can't raise our taxes without a two-thirds vote. Blakely and Lorenz were trying to get this changed to a majority rule. I mean, and the environmentalists were jumping up and down saying we need more money for bike trails. And right, there's a lot of highway money out there. It's just being circumvented to someplace else. And there again, we need to get more people in there with diverse ideas and find out where this money's going and channeled into the right place.
Well, yeah. Another, as I previously mentioned, on the PB repair, the contract that finished with the Fairview track and moved over to Crawford Oaks. A couple other things is the state water line is bought through our wastewater treatment plant. They're tunneling or boring underneath the freeway, and I heard this morning Malik came in and heard on the radio that the Better Call contract of Caltrans, they thought 101 was sinking.
Oh, God.
Middle section.
You know, and you heard about our pipeline being broken down in front of Jocko's, so I don't think it was a good week for the contract.
Is that what they were doing out there tonight when I drove up? Is that they were working at night? They were repairing or breaking?
Well, they repaired it last night. A couple of other things. This afternoon, I spoke between the San Luis Obispo County Water Advisory Committee meeting, and they have a draft of the groundwater management plan. They will probably review it, ask for comments by the end of the month. It will be put back on the agenda for the next meeting for direction from the committee, I guess some recommendation to the Board of Supervisors if they want to have the flood control district involved or not involved or what they really wish to do. So that will probably take place at the next county meeting, county Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting. I put a couple of brochures on some seminars on water. This one here, Managing California Liquid Gold, is put on by Scott Slater. Some of the board members have gone to this in the past. It's down in Santa Barbara. There's an agenda associated with it. Some of them are quite good. There's another ran across California Water Law. It takes place up in San Francisco. I looked at that agenda, and some of the items on it, I think, really pertain to the district. You know, they start reviewing California Water Law and an overview of state water supply situation. And selling and transferring of water projects, obtaining authority for new projects, how to use water transfers and shoring up supplies, water supply projects, dealing with water rights and environmental issues, how to put together a water project, contracting and other technical issues, and the alternatives to traditional water supply projects. I think it might be wise of going to that one and bringing what the camp's a two-day seminar. And it's but
sounds like a good one.
Yeah, and I was going to probably go to that one if the board wants to go to that one, or I guess some of the board members have been to this one put on by Scott Slater.
Right.
And I recommend you, if you have time or something, going down probably Santa Barbara is a good introductory aspect of getting how water gets involved in the situation.
Where is that one?
March 15th.
Just one day.
Yeah, it's a one-day seminar.
Pay rent for $200.
Well, it's $185 you pay before March 8th.
Okay. $185.
Well,
that's a low on attorney's rate.
Well, that's what they do. They go down there and get there.
Except it's one attorney and 50 people.
So I think
why don't they just take the water from the that's been treated down there and sell it to these people that are complaining about the cost of water levels and everything else and recoup some of the costs? That's what San Luis Obispo is doing. They're not going to dump all the water in the creek, but it, you know, they don't care about the salmon and the steelhead apparently. It's enough water to keep them, you know, propagating and everything else. Going to take the, they're doing a study on that, and the rest of the water in itself to the growers, you know, the growers or something. Would it be possibly for you as a district?
sell their water cheaper to the growers, and they could pump it out of the ground. Both parties would win in this.
Well, the district is recycling all its water back in the groundwater base, either through irrigation or percolation of its groundwater. You get in the economics of when you start moving water around, sometimes that costs more than the water.
And you're still going to have to elaborate filter system to get the nitrates and all that to move the ground, right?
Not when we percolate in the groundwater.
If you saturate it, what has to move?
Unless
you really do a thorough, filtering process before you dump it into the ground.
Well,
right now, with the volume that we deal with, our pond situation, we meet all the requirements for cleanliness and pollutants and nitrates and everything. So it's not a problem right now. We don't expect it to be. We've got single level treatment type process, very simple. Right now, we can increase that later if time and money provides for it.
One thing that brought up this meeting last Saturday is that the county can have more than one planning commission. And maybe, the district ought to explore along with NAG or interest groups of having a planning commission for the Napomo Mesa that could meet at the courthouse or meet down here on rotating basis.
Yeah, that would be good.
And eliminate some of these problems that the board is addressing tonight.
Isn't that that's kind of one of the NAG functions? I mean, Susan Ostroff, when she had the position, she reported to Ruth, and she was always down here at these meetings, and also had planning commissioner position. But you're probably talking about a multi-member type.
Well, this would be a
five members from the area large or something.
Yeah, I mean, take the Napomo Mesa, pick a number of people, five members or whatever you wish, and say, okay, this is the planning commission. Commissioners for the Napomo area would be, some area to be defined. And they would sit to review projects on the Napomo Mesa and make input to the planning department on zone changes, land use changes, whatever the feeling of the people in Napomo wish. And try and where right now you got a area wide thing, and three or four people at a different area have a different philosophy than maybe the FOMO does, and you don't have the votes to proceed on the planning issue.
Right.
And I understand what there's a whole town or group that is interested in, along with NAG, and maybe getting together and come up with a request to, I guess you go to the supervisor or to the board of supervisors. I guess you're right, Alex.
Well, I think that NAG is still alive and well. It's just been resting after the South Center plan, but this was moved recently, and it's getting, reinvigorated right now. And they want to continue doing exactly what they did with the South Center plan, have the representatives do exactly what you're saying, and they have people be able to have a way to put their input in to Ruth so that she is aware of what the needs and desires of people's opinions are.
Yeah, well, this would take.
And then I'm on the Old Town Como Business Association, which we used to call it on the Downtown Business Association. That's just been formed or resurrected now again to try and develop some concepts for developing the Old Town area. That's not something that we would implement any development, but basically stuff there ever was in the city development, it would be a concept.
The planning
work with the county, so they don't come in and do something that's contrary to what we'd like to see happen in the old business area.
Yeah, and going one step further, if you had your own planning commission for the area, it would be even greater input.
Yeah, I'll talk to the county.
Yeah, we talked about that same thing with the Templeton people. Talked about that too. The main thing we tried to convey to the planning director was that they should pay attention to these groups too. A lot of times they ask for all this input. These people go to a lot of trouble, do a lot of work, and then go up there and they're not paid attention to. And they need to pay attention to what the people want and be more responsive to these groups so that these groups are included in it, and that's included in the planning. And that's that's what was part of what we told them about forming cities or not. I said, if they're more responsive to these groups, then you won't have as much pressure to form cities, but if you're not responsive to these groups, then people are going to form cities and go around.
I like the idea of getting some representation on the planning commission, just from the standpoint that it's not funneling all your inputs into one avenue, namely, to the district sectoral supervisor and then her being one out of five, might be able to get a little bit more numbers in our favor.
I think, my opinion, I think an independent planning commission for the Napomo area would be advantageous. You can get a broad representation.
Okay. But one of the ideas that's coming through on this constitutional and this state constitutional amendment for community development.
Yeah.
Without having to form a city.
Yeah, there's a community charter. Is a proposed component. So that would be basically you'd have four people, but it'd be a single house legislature is one of the suggestions. A board of supervisors that would be generally larger by population. So if you had a population of something, you might have five. Population of X, you would have more, because part of it is to eliminate special districts or certain types of special districts and use the Board of Supervisors more as a city council for the unincorporated area, and then have cities, and then have what's called community charters, which I imagine would be a community services district, a multi service district.
You're hoping that this will, in effect, accomplish some downsizing or just make the whole process more efficient? Or
yeah, and I think it's really kind of an outbreak.
Or save money.
Right. Well, see, I think that's what they think. There's a kind of a move in the California right now that bigger is better, that regional is better than local. And mostly, I think, stemming from the economics, there's a clear feeling, I think. Shock to know how many dormant or semi-dormant special districts are. Not so much in this county. Well, in this county, too. As a creature of law, there are a number of cemetery districts. It's just mind-boggling. Look at them. I think almost 40% of the special districts that are in this county alone are cemetery districts. And of course, a lot of their boards are really kind of inactive. I mean, it's not like they're quite
dead.
Frankly, I kind of.
Is that a play on words?
And there's a lot of those.
That's a grave condition.
Yeah. I can leave it to somebody else to come up with it, but it's a lawyer. The joke on that, but and there's a lot of
all's going to go for it, but it
special types districts that were enacted way in the past to address special issues like wind erosion, water erosion, and things, and they're still on the books. Although, as a practical matter, they're not active. And this would be part of this move is to eliminate those types of structures from it. From the basic California governmental family tree, so to speak.
Could you take just a wag at a very general letter to the appropriate person or group that might express our interest in the planning commission? Is that kind of your feel that we should have some representation for a formal plan? A little bit more? If so, we can at least look at a draft letter and maybe if you like it, we can send it up there.
Right, send it to the County Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, I think that's a place to start. Yes? Yes, we want to be the board for every agency here at Sacramento. That's obviously our angle.
I think the idea is requesting the Board of Supervisors to form a second or another planning commission to overview the development on the Opal Mesa.
So this is not related to that?
It could be. I mean, remember, no.
Something other than what's in place now.
Let me point out just real quickly the difference. NAG is an advisory commission, advisory group. They make recommendations, but that's it. A planning commission actually, the way that they actually have them in some counties where they have multi-planning commissions, and they serve as the planning commission. In other words, the one down there at the county would not, you don't advise anybody, you are the planning commission. You appeal from that planning commission to the Board of Supervisors. The issue that bodes against that type of thing is purely economics. Because if you have a Napomo area or any area planning commission, you have to staff it. And you have to provide for the meetings and things. And again, it has to do with this idea of regional government, bigger, more efficient, and things like that. So that's what drives against it.
I think the thought of this one, it'd just be another planning commission using existing county staff.
Well, okay. However you want to do it, I don't
know. Well, are they using existing county staff
and local input? Well, the local input would be this commission putting, you know, certain direction to that their staff to come up.
No, actually, the way they work is they're appointed by the Board of Supervisors, just like the normal. They fill the legal charter of a planning commission, and they're appointed the same
way. When you say utilize county staff, you mean from an administrative point of view, right? You're not meaning that current commissioners will be our commissioners.
No.
We're not going to have our commissioners for this area. It's just going to be melded into the process with our county staff. Yes.
Do I understand it right that if indeed something would go for the Napomo Planning Commission, that would be indeed strictly straightforward after that to the County Board of Supervisors, and you don't have to go at all towards the other one?
Right.
Anymore. Is that correct?
Right.
So there's no duplication in that sense.
That would be the intent.
Okay.
That's what distinguishes an advisory committee from a actual standing.
What kind of president is set? There's only one county planning department right now, San Luis Obispo, right?
Yes.
How many other surrounding counties have something like that?
I remember seeing a figure, I think four.
The Ventura County is one that has that.
A multi-planning commission.
Yeah.
A multi-jurisdictional planning commission.
It's not new.
We would not be plowing new ground to do it.
Just a possibility at this point. So
would there be anything to preclude a member of this board being on the planning commission?
It would. Yeah, actually, it would be. Right now, there's clear rulings out on conflict about sitting on a city council and being on a planning commission at the county level. And again, they would be appointed. My guess is, quite frankly, I'm not an expert on planning commission law, whether or not you can have elected planning commissioners or not. I just know that this county they're all appointed, and my guess would be if that's the way it's supposed to be.
You're planning to tailor your request or suggestion just to Mesa, or are you planning to
I'd say, probably Nunes Market, that end to the county line.
I would suggest just make it as broad base as possible so it opens up the discussion, not
the whole community would be coming up with them, right?
Yeah.
It's just obviously the other side of the Mesa.
Well, from the ocean off to the
community.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'd want to make a broad base letter without any kind of definitions as boundaries, you would think, because
my company's in Oriole Grande, you'd like to be able to be in CC.
Sure.
Well, my home's in supposedly Royal Grande, but I'm on this board too, so
yeah.
You can get a hold of that if you offer here.
That's just the mail that's determined that. The USPS is determined that. I know, that's the one that determines the hearing.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that, please.
What interest does the MPSC have in making this private suggestion or recommendation to the county board of supervisors?
Thank you.
My feeling is that right now we have no land use authority at all, zero. The board, anywhere that's.
In other words, you could say we just have done it at this point, right?
Yeah, we're just a dog.
With no power at all, right?
But anyone in.
I didn't get ejected. My apology for being rude like that.
Let's have one question at a time. Out there in the areas outside the district boundaries, there's a lot of things that happen at the county level, but yet NCSD is always influenced by them for one reason or another. It's hard to separate our activities from Mesa activities because the groundwater basins are all connected. It's just, I think it's a more holistic approach. Plus, I think you get better representation of the people that live in the Napomo Mesa. Let's say, we live in Napomo. This is Napomo, too. If they had a direct input to a planning commissioner, they'd probably get more of a community which they like.
And how would, by the formation of a separate planning commission in Napomo, how would that provide MPSC with more input on land use planning?
I have no idea at this point. Mr. Blair has a response.
Like this thing with the road, I don't have anybody to go to. I can go to the county. When I say me, I mean the board. I'm sorry. The board doesn't have any recourse on this road. We're stuck with it on this thing. And if we go to NAG really has no authority with the county. I mean, we saw in the general plan, there's a lot of stuff in there that we really didn't go for, but we got it rammed down our throat anyhow because there was no way we could stop it. The Magnificent Three up there said this is the way it's going to be. And you've got the other supervisors have their own agenda in their own areas, but they seem to like to run this area too. And I would like to see some kind of way where if we don't like something on the board, then we could go to you or whoever, say you're on that planning commission, and then they can go to the board of supervisors directly and we'd have a little more clout. That's what all these commissions, SLOCOG and everything else, but the more people we get and the more break up the power of the people who are making policy for this area and don't live here.
Right now, I don't have a good feel that what type of development, what type of projects are going on around us are really what the residents want out there. That's what bothers me. Now, let's talk about, you're asking me directed questions at NCSD like we have some subliminal message here or some ulterior motive, and that's not the case at all. It's just that we have meetings here. We have such limited attendance. The only attendance we have is when there's a special interest going on. You don't hear from the residents generally because most of them are pretty happy. But yet all these activities are going on. We hear about the activities because they call us, because we are a central point of contact for Napomo Community Services. And so we hear about things that are even out of our jurisdiction. It would be nice to have some Napomo representation outside NCSD, out there on the Mesa, interfacing up there with the county and really get some kind of community out there that they like. If they want 30-foot streets instead of 12, then they get 30-foot streets. If they want a school out there, then they will get a school. But right now it doesn't exist. We're like the stepchild that we get with personal. It's just the way it goes. I don't think we're as representatives as we ought to be. Yes, the gentleman in the blue sweater has a question.
What you're saying is the county has the final approval, the power of these people here is.
Well, they control all the land use.
They make recommendations to them, they make the final approval.
They control all the land use.
Well, the high school did pass on the last ballot, but it wasn't the majority, apparently. The majority is the one that made it. people educated about trouble, right?
Yeah, we all want a school, they just don't know how to fund it.
That's the problem, that's the funding.
Well, question directed to Mr. Blair, would you have, in essence, the same problem, even though it's maybe a very good idea, et cetera, if you go to an informal type planning commission, if you are not a city, so you don't have local people who have the control, if you have to go, whether it's right now the Central Fiscal County Planning Commission, but then you have the Fogel Planning Commission, but you got to go for those same three supervisors who don't give a hoot about this area or some common sense ideas, in my opinion, it doesn't matter whether you go with the Fogel Planning Commission in front of them or the Central Fiscal Planning Commission. They're going to shoot it down anyway.
Yeah, but it does make a difference because the San Luis Planning Commission is loaded up. Each supervisor gets to appoint its own person. Blakely has his person. Laurent has his person. Delaney has his person. They fired, or whatever they did, they fired the agricultural person. And the agriculture person was a pretty good person because every once in a while he just didn't go along with the gang, and or at least he made him stop and look or slowed it up. And they don't want people to stop and look and slow it up. They want to railroad everything down the road. So if we have our own planning commission, at least I think the people in this community is going to get a better shot at things. It's going to give us another avenue to go to get what we want done.
Might be just a way of improving the working relationship.
Right, and it might improve the working relations between NCSD and the community. Some people view us as like, I don't know, a court that we have our own agenda. We really don't. We want to really make do what's best for the community on the long thing in the big picture.
Mr. Kay.
You're going both ways with this discussion. You're talking about a local planning commission that would go for kind of supersede the county planning commission, and then yet again you want to have that's more bureaucracy in my way. You're talking about bureaucracy by the water management agency, and now you're making more bureaucracy for this. Just whatever purpose you want to go, yeah, but you be another agency.
I think the object is the planning commission would replace the existing planning commission, so you still have one planning commission to go to.
What would that planning commission do that's in the county then?
Well, it would be around a local area. I mean, represented just on the Pomo.
What about the planning commission in place now?
They'd take care of the rest of the
county.
Well, I personally think they should have a representative from the Pomo and the planning commission up there.
They do.
They do have a who's the person that gets voted out?
Cameron?
Oh, anyway, it's a concept. Well, you write a letter and explore it.
Yeah.
I have one more thing I should brought up in the tax exchange. Mr. Bob Nuno is in the Artisan, and he has been inquiring about annexing to the district. He has a 10-acre parcel at the intersection of Hazel Lane and Teff Street, and he submitted, and we started the process, I guess, through LAC or through the county, and the county came back on a zero tax exchange, and we didn't agree to that, and so it died on the vine. And he's exploring a different concept of whether a special area out there could pay taxes over and above what the county would require or non-require. And so I think he's here just kind of trying to get some questions, but maybe you can.
I'm Bob Nudal. I own the property in the corner of Texas and Hazel. And then I was just looking through my file tonight, and it's just 1 year ago that I started my process through LACO, and I got stopped by this tax exchange thing where there was a disagreement. And I've been waiting for the meetings to take place, like this last meeting that they just had in regards to that, to see if that can be resolved, and it seems like it hasn't been. And I'm just a small developer, and I'm really having a hard time with this property carrying it, you know, and I need to do something with it. In fact, I should have had it online by now. It's just really a hardship on me. But I was thinking that if it would help the situation, I would be willing to go ahead and meet that financial obligation on that, whatever the tax that you would be receiving from the county while you're negotiating. And the only thing I would hope for that once it was settled, that we would be treated the same way.
resources thing, you've got to look at how many undeveloped lots within the district boundaries are available, how many are pending, what the water supply is. There's a lot of things. It wasn't just property taxes thing to dry it up. In fact, the board hasn't, I don't think, ever considered or made a formal motion on this project to date. The discussions have been occurring at the staff level around it.
Yeah, basically, it died at the county with this tax change and that.
Right. Well, yeah, that's one issue.
It's presently served by Cal City, isn't it?
No.
Or no? Is it served by us or Cal City?
Not being served by anybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it's in your spirit, but I think there was some discussion on who was going to serve it, and I think that where I got out of the meeting while I was at that meeting is that the NCFC wanted to be the provider in that area, and they were actually sent to the delegation to San Francisco or San Francisco or Sacramento to protest the NC, the California cities coming into that area. So, I'm a little confused here.
There's been no formal board action on that, is what I'm saying. Has there been, that I'm aware of?
On what?
On annexation of that property.
No.
The property taxes change negotiations is one thing. That's a general concept. It's not just to your project, it's to any project that comes before us.
Well, my situation is that I can't even bring it before you, so I go to LACO, and I'm trying to get to LACO. That's
the procedure.
Yeah, now there's a 15 acres between the district boundary and Mr. Newdahl's property that has been approved by LACO for annexing to the district. But I guess the applicant, I'm not sure where that is. I think you're in some financial situation, not paying a fee. So I think it's just treading water at the present time. But if that came in along with Mr. Newdahl, that would make a 25-acre annexation. Although, like I say, 15 acres has been approved by the LACO for annexing.
Can we have a map at the next meeting of Mr. Newdahl? I know we've seen these in the past before, but maybe a map showing his project, the 15 acres you're talking about, and the Sauer properties that were the Sauer property and that group of residents that also petitioned us a while back for annexation. Now we need to provide the annexation forms to Mr. Newdahl regarding the information he had.
He has a copy.
I was under the impression that it should be submitted until after the LACO, but I'd be more than
willing. And I'm just saying it's a head start type of deal as far as calculating the water that's available.
We probably have obligation. So I probably already have it.
Okay. It'd be something at least we can look at when we're talking about it. We have some numbers in front of us.
One of the things, I wasn't totally against your project, but what I'm against is further down the road from your project, Sauer's, and not so much Sauer's, but the thing up above, I think, who owns the Kenora? Those people are living in one-acre parcels, and they want to do the same thing. What they want to do is change the zoning in there, so that in amongst those one-acre parcels, they can put in little islands of six houses. And that, to me, is not too slick. I lived down the street from that for 16 years. I lived down at Orchard Primavera, and I bought a one-acre piece, and that's what I wanted, and I enjoyed it for 16 years. And I would have been very upset if somebody would have put six houses behind me, six houses in front of me. And there's got to be some line, like if you get your tax, you can't see the whole thing going, that whole triangle there, because I don't think that's really what this community's about. I don't think they want, it's like what the county calls almost spot zoning, because it just puts a whole bunch of stuff in there that I don't think those people want. I went around on a bicycle one morning, talked to them, and I know they don't want it, so that had something to do with it, too.
Ours is more along.
Right.
Yeah.
But
we can bring all this to the board.
Yeah, right. I mean, but that was part of it too. It
What's the zoning? It's zoned. It's allowable for 10,000 square feet or 6,000.
The whole piece of land, including Canora's property, is zoned for, right? Was 6,000, they changed to 10,000 square foot lot.
10,000.
So it's already zoned for 10,000 square foot lot.
But it's served, what, some of it's served by Cal City?
So technically, it's not a change of zone, but it's the availability of the sewer that will help them to go down.
Right, but Cal City's is already in there, right?
That's right.
That's the part I can't see us going in there and taking service from Cal City's. I mean,
That's why we went to San Francisco before the PUC.
Yeah, there we lost, right?
Okay.
The ruling was not now.
Right, and that's...
That's losing.
That's losing. That's losing. And,
can I talk like an attorney?
And that's the thing. I don't want to take service from Cal Cities. I mean, we got enough service to provide. We have enough limited amount of resource. There's no reason why we should grab part of Cal Cities. I mean, that's just the way I... kind of think about it in that area. We can go a whole bunch of places.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay, that takes care of the management report, and I think we've got... Let's formally go to director's comments. Director's comments, and we can comment normally.
Just from this last issue, is it possible for the district to collect taxes on the parcel like that?
We would just as a matter, we would leave it to Mr. Newdall's attorney to answer that question. He has a very fine land use lawyer. I believe he can come up with the right answer. I guess the real question is I don't know the answer to it because I haven't spent any time researching it.
That's losing.
I would leave it to the applicant to make the case that would be the appropriate way rather than district, you know.
Well, we could draw up a draft or something that might be acceptable.
Yeah, maybe specify the codes, the legal authority for the district doing something.
Because clearly that would have to be some type of a policy change for us. We have to apply that unilaterally. I don't want to establish some type of precedent on a unique basis. Pretty soon we're getting to the point where it's how fat the developer's envelope is and whether we decide to annex or not.
This particular property is, Orchard is on one side, but we have Hazel Lane along after there. And everything, I'd say, west of Hazel is pretty much 1 acre and all of that, but everything back towards Orchard Street, there's all kinds of off parcels in there. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just kind of an infill type thing. And it would I would say Hazel would be a good boundary line for this whole thing. And
except our experiences, there's never a boundary.
Well, we'll get
looking at Don Road
we can.
For a little bit.
We're going to have to put a lift station in there, too, right?
The developer would be,
yeah. Yeah, right. But is there going to be some mechanism, like, where the people that live in that area are going to have to pay something towards the operation of the lift station?
It depends how it develops.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's potential for anyone that benefits by it to pay $500 to buy and utilize it.
Yeah, there you go.
Or entering some type of joint agreement with the developer ahead of time to pay a portion of it.
Right. We understand that.
Yeah.
We're used to putting all the improvements.
I put on the agenda, Director Blair and Director Simons had a meeting about water issues that they wish to discuss briefly in their meeting.
Correct. We did. We had it at my home, and I forget the date. It was a Thursday, as I recall. And we, pardon me?
January 26th,
something like that. We had apple pie for dessert. We did have an excellent meeting, and it went on a little longer than my wife had projected it to go. We started out, I think, around 7:30 and wound up around 10 o'clock. And among the things that we discussed were, the discussion was based on the fact that we had been selected to get certain things, certain information about water here in the Mesa and in the Napomo area in particular. Based on that, we each brought in a few ideas, all of them the same thing that you've heard many, many times. State water, well, we didn't get that one. Desalinization, and there is a program called Carbon Gel that creates a low cost, better than the osmosis system of desalinization. And we thought that the UNICAL organization, because of the amount of water that they use, would be interested in looking at a desal program. We don't know the answer to that one yet, although we have visited with some of the people from that organization. The
you mean you might use that as a test bed for that technology?
Yeah, it's the cost now of the carbon gel itself has increased to a point that would be probably the same cost as a typical desalinization plant. Originally, when this came out, and it came out of Livermore, California, and they were in the arms business, this and that used a lot of water, obviously, required a lot of water. It came about because they were looking for ways to reduce costs in the development of their water. And they thought they had it, but it turns out the carbon gel is based on a 4-by-5-inch piece. It would take 2 gallons of water and clean it out in a matter of 1 or 2 seconds. Really unbelievable situation. And that carbon gel, then if you extend that into large pieces, which might be the size of this room, would obviously get a lot of water out on any given time. Something like in the neighborhood of maybe 1,000 gallons a minute on a piece that size, and a piece 10 times that size, obviously 10 times the amount of water. We talked about that, and then we got into other areas where we might consider additional water. And I had heard a statement from somebody to the effect that any city or town or hamlet that does not look for reservoirs within the area where they live and reside, they're very foolish, because the day will come when every city, town, and hamlet will need a reservoir. With that, Bob came up with a reservoir. And I'll let him tell you about that, because I'm not familiar with the logistics or the boundaries of what he's talking about. But I do know that he was excited about it, and I think he'd like to tell you about it.
Well, if you plant bats in it, I'm in.
I'm not sure whether it would be feasible or not, because I'm not sure of the geologic and stuff that you have to dig. But Los Burros Canyon is the only place where we have water that comes down in any amount back up behind Campo Donico's ranch back in there. It kind of feeds around towards the Twitchell Reservoir, and there may be some way back in there where that could be dammed up and some kind of reservoir made where that water could be captured. The other idea that I had was Twitchell Reservoir itself. That same way through that canyon or some other way into the Pomo, would have to be in conjunction with Santa Barbara County, but Twitchell Reservoir might be able to be turned into a full-time dam recreation area where the water is not just released into the groundwater all the time, but it's stored there. When we had all that rain, years mid-60s, I think, the water came within 10 feet of the bridge out there, and it backed up quite a distance. That would be a heck of a recreation area, and it would give Napomo a place to get water. We wouldn't need state water. We wouldn't need a whole bunch of things. So there's two places where we could look for water if we were shut off from someplace else. But I think Doug or somebody would have to look, and I don't know how the property owners are out there or what, but that might be one way of damming up and making the Napomo Reservoir.
Yeah, 20 years ago, I looked at Los Burros Creek for a dam. The hydraulic here in the earth wasn't sufficient to get the water source, but if you work something out with Twitchell to pump it over the hill to fill that water.
Yeah.
It is possible, but again, Twitchell is a federal project, and it's associated with the San Marino Valley groundwater people. And it was designed for a flood control project by Corps of Engineers, and to change that designation would take an act of Congress.
Well, nobody said that these things that we talked about would work. All we said was we would investigate them and look at them. Another thing that came up, and this came up from Black Lake, where I happen to reside, as Case lives out there also. In Black Lake, it's an entity now. It could literally be a town. It could be anything. There are some 1,000 residents scheduled to be in there by the end of this year, and it looks like they will be with the addition of 95 homes that are under construction now and will be completed sometime either this year or early next year. And that's a good-sized group of people. The president is a fellow by the name of Jack Stoddard, who's a large developer and has been very successful in the developing business, including water. And he's an expert on water, and I truly mean an expert. He went to a county person who directed him to a state person, and this was about state water. And the complaint from Stoddard to the man from the state was a very simple one. When the state water was voted upon, this community had some 600 residents at that time, but we did not have a chance to vote. And the reason that we didn't have a chance to vote is that we were not within the district at that particular time. So the state man said, well, possibly, and he used the word possibly, something could be rectified by creating an opportunity for you to vote, not for state water because that's dead, but for an attachment to state water that would be a turn-on valve and would thus give the Black Lake area a lot of water that they could purchase from other people who had state water but didn't need all of their share, and they would put it on the market to sell it. And at some time, maybe not in my lifetime, maybe not in the lifetime of several of us here, but at some time in the not too distant future, we're going to be looking for water. And I think that, I sincerely think that we should look wherever possible, wherever we can look, and we should investigate every opportunity that might come along that would produce more water. I noticed in one of the things that went out here recently from your fellows group, that why rush into this thing? I think the answer is pretty evident. We've got to rush into this thing, not to develop it immediately, but to study the potential of the development. And I think if we don't do that, we're going to be remiss, and we're also going to be out of water. Anything else for you, about that's it for me.
In the meeting I had the slow clock with some of the county people, I kind of told them the same thing. That the residents here in the Plum will see this big pipe going through the main part of Teff Street, and they see it go past the post office through almost the tire company. And eventually, if we run out of water, we're going to have to look for it someplace, and right out in front of the post office is a good place to look as any. And they keep reminding me of this vote that we had down there. The people voted it down, and I kind of reminded him that there's 18,000 people in the Pomo area. I think of a 42% turnout of 2,500 people, maybe 1,400 people voted, which is less than 10%. And he kind of looked at me kind of funny, like, I said, we're going to have the vote eventually of everybody down there. And the people that really wanted the water weren't the ones that got the vote. So that perception has to be changed at the county level, that they think that it was a representative vote, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a vote of a much smaller area.
Right.
May I ask how that vote's going? There was some talk about another vote that was going to be supported by the municipal board on.
Seth, in the November election, we were looking at that kind of got dropped, too.
There's no rush on it.
Right. I think there's a suggestion that maybe we should.
Didn't we ultimately
just, yeah.
We decided, we Doug talked to some people at the county level, couldn't we
They could make the March election.
Could make the March election, excuse me. And so, I guess we could make the November election.
And I think the board appointed a committee to look at that aspect of putting something on the ballot.
Which probably hasn't met.
Who's that? Is that Al? Al and I?
Yeah.
We ran out of apple pie, you see.
I didn't realize that was part of it, but
we can go at it again.
We'll go. We'll have another meeting.
There you go.
Can we come for refreshments?
The Lopez water source in consideration too, or is that too far out of our area?
The water rights in the Lopez project are all taken.
And that's what's funny about it is Oceana is getting some of the state water and they voted it in and they don't want it now. They changed their mind. So why can't we change our mind as far as a yes vote, just have a yes vote instead of a no vote?
Okay, hold that thought and hold that question. Do we have director's comments kind of wrapped up right now? Okay, public comments. Mr. Snyder.
Well, I went to the flood control district meeting with Doug Jones and Marbler, and I believe at the end of that meeting they were discussing the state water. Am I not correct yet? And what actually happened to that state water? And my understanding from that was that, A, they hadn't sold it yet. B, that they had an offer for what I believe was all of the water for San Luis Obispo County, that they had a deal to sell it for $11 million, and that deal somehow went afoul. So I guess whenever he says that state water is just not available, I don't quite believe it can.
You mean it's not available from a voting standpoint?
Let me finish. And if I'm not mistaken, that there was also somebody from Atascadero who was interested in, who had decided not to have that water, who had now become interested and going to make a move to try to get part of that water as a reserve for their groundwater base.
Mr. Snyder.
I just make a comment. It's not available because when they built the pipeline from Colonial Pass to here, it's engineered on the actual contracted amount of water and not the county's entitlement. It's true that you could say in one instance the county still has the entitlement to the water, but it also, on the flip side of that, that pipeline is engineered. They took the most stringent and conservative engineering things because they did not want to burden the downstream takers. So you could say there's water available, but there's no capacity in the existing pipeline or at Colonial Pass to treat it.
At the full flow rate, if everybody takes their allotment.
You're absolutely right, but the deal that I got to point out to you is that is the most expensive water that will be in the Central Coast for a while. And every agency, you pay for it whether you use it or not. So they're going to take that water. I mean, it's not going to be, in my view, nobody is going to say, I'm going to pay $800 for an acre foot of water and then not use it, because they're going to be paying for it whether they use it or not. So my guess is, absent drought conditions where the allotment is unavailable to come down the pipeline will be full.
Then how would the talk of surplus water and
what those guys talk about there at that level, I have no idea, but I just know
that there's been talk here of getting surplus water. What I'm
sure
saying is if there's room for surplus water, there's room for water.
When they say surplus water, what you are saying is that some upstream user of the water, more practical from the POMO's point of view, a downstream user who has the upstream capacity is going to say to us, Builton or Santa Maria, they are downstream users. They own the capacity upstream of them all the way to Colonial Pass. They have a capacity. This is, I don't know what, 25,000 acre feet. I forget the Santa Maria Builton numbers. They could. With the consent of the county flood control, shift their water, their state water, to us. And that is the sense that the word supplemental water is.
So basically all of the supplemental water that you would be talking about bringing in here would have to be Yeah, it basically sold us from some downstream from
the pipeline. I think that's the best thinking. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get an engineer with a widget saying you can pressurize the pipeline, you know, and change the formula.
That's not Ms. Frederick's.
Voted for the water, and
sir,
now they change their mind.
I can't.
Let me take the lady's question, please. She's been raising her hand. She's going to have beside us in a minute. Go ahead.
I'm
what? Oh, I'm sorry. It was before.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment that Mr. Sykes is correct in his assessment of what the difference is between the capacity of the pipeline and what was contracted for. But there, I would encourage the board to really pursue the state water thing because it is coming down right in the middle of our town. And there is water available. There are other entities that have contracted for it to go down for sale. The latest information I have is that they're still working on the wheeling agreements. What you might want to do is piggyback on the wheeling agreements that are being worked on, because you're going to need one if you end up doing that.
Jacqueline's correct. There is a, as you read about it, it's called the Monterey Plan, where they're restructuring the ability statewide for local agencies, and that includes cities, counties, everybody, to transfer water between ag and municipal use. That has yet to be approved by everybody, but it's likely that it will be. And I would agree that I think that there's going to be water for sale from downstream users. I don't think that there's any question of it, you know, and I think that that's always will be an option for any district, especially one like the Pomo, that doesn't have to worry about building 8 miles of access pipe, because we can probably go 5 yards and get into your distribution system. But I think there's one caveat in all of this. This county structure, I'm just saying this county structure, the master purveyor is the county flood control district. The county flood control district, if you want to use Oceano as a purveyor, is a sub-purveyor to the state water project via its entitlement to the county flood control district, which has to approve the water transfer. So you always have to kind of keep in mind the politics of water in this county when you want to get into these things. You kind of have to remember that you have one layer of bureaucracy up there that has the ultimate approval of any water transfers. Like, I'm not saying they won't approve it, but I'm just pointing out to you that your fate, like between you and Bilton or you and Santa Maria or you and Santa Barbara, is not entirely in your hands or the hands of the residents of the Pomo. And I'm not saying the county won't approve it. I'm just saying you have to go there as part of the process.
Well, that's true. And the problem you have is that the county's not going to approve it given the current state of the votes that we've already discussed. Is why
I would agree with that assessment.
On a second vote.
And I,
yeah, the gentleman in the blue sweater, do you still have a comment, sir?
Well, I don't agree with Mr. Seitz's comment, because there's a couple of minority communities that voted yes on it. Now they changed their mind. I think it's Creston
Shannon,
right? So you're trying to tell me that they must still pay for their yes vote, but what you say?
I would say that the county is concerned.
Because
that's a county CSA that sponsored the water, and the engineering getting the water to Shandon is already constructed. So.
So who's going to come up with the finance? No, the property payers each go.
I would say it's not going to be this board.
They're going to have to
I don't. I don't know.
One thing on the